Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, September 26th. Happy Resurrection Day! And I am reading from the New International Version and then the New Living Translation when we get to the book of Ezekiel. Today we start a new book in the New Testament. We begin the book of James. And as always, I know you get tired of hearing me say this, but if you have never checked out the Bible Project videos online on YouTube, they are well worth it. The one on James is very interesting because it talks about James being the half-brother of Jesus and that James was actually the name Jacob. You'll have to go to the video to understand more about that. But that Jacob or James was immersed in the Proverbs throughout his life and also immersed in the teachings of Jesus. And so much of James is like Proverbs for us, little pithy sayings that help us to remember the life and the way of Jesus. And so they say it's meant to be read very slowly. And unfortunately, we're going to zoom through it. We're going to do it in 5 days. So I encourage you, after we listen together, after I read and you listen, maybe take some time to go back through slowly if you have the opportunity. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after seeing himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And now let's turn over to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 119. We continue on with verses 129 through 144. Pay. Your statutes are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant, and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Sadi. You are righteous, Lord, and your laws are right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands give me delight. Your statutes are always righteous. Give me understanding, that I may live. And now let's move over to the book of Ezekiel. Today we're in the first portion of chapter 48. If you have access to a computer right now, you might want to Google Ezekiel 48 and distribution of the land just to have a visual. But this vision is giving us a view of the recreated land. One study Bible noted that the overall boundaries correspond to those in Numbers 34, where God allots for the people a portion in the promised land. And then the study Bible says this, given the power of the river that we talked about yesterday to make things fruitful, it can be assumed that the whole of the land is equally fertile. So they weren't fighting over which land was better and more fertile, because in this new promised land, all the land produces fruit and is good. The division of the land is a symbol for the fact that all who obey and believe in the one true God will have a place in this new land. Ezekiel 48, Division of the Land. Here is the list of the tribes of Israel and the territory each is to receive. The territory of Dan is in the extreme north. Its boundary line follows the Hethlon Road to Lebo Hamath, and then runs on to Hazar Enon on the border of Damascus, with Hamath to the north. Dan's territory extends all the way across the land of Israel from east to west. Asher's territory lies south of Dan's and also extends from east to west. Naphtali's land lies south of Asher's, also extending from east to west. Then comes Manasseh, south of Naphtali, and its territory also extends from east to west. South of Manasseh is Ephraim, and then Reuben, and then Judah, all of whose boundaries extend from east to west. South of Judah is the land set aside for this special purpose. It will be 8 1/3 miles wide and will extend as far east and west as the tribal territories, with the temple at the center. The area set aside for the Lord's temple will be 8 1/3 miles long and 6 2/3 miles wide. For the priests, there will be a strip of land measuring 8 1/3 miles long by 3 1/3 miles wide, with the Lord's temple at the center. This area is set aside for the ordained priest, the descendants of Zadok, who served me faithfully and did not go astray with the people of Israel and the rest of the Levites. It will be their special portion when the land is distributed, the most sacred land of all. Next to the priest's territory will lie the land where the other Levites will live. The land allotted to the Levites will be the same size and shape as that belonging to the priest, 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide. Together, these portions of the land will measure 8 1/3 miles long by 6 2/3 miles wide. None of this special land may ever be sold or traded or used by others, for it belongs to the Lord. It is set apart as holy. An additional strip of land, 8 1/3 miles long by 1 2/3 miles wide, south of the sacred temple area, will be allotted for public use, homes, pasture lands, and common lands, with a city at the center. The city will measure 1.5 miles on each side, north, south, east, and west. Open lands will surround the city for 150 yards in every direction. Outside the city, there will be a farming area that stretches 3 1/3 miles to the east and 3 1/3 miles to the west, along the border of this sacred area. This farmland will produce food for the people working in the city. Those who come from the various tribes to work in the city may farm it. This entire area, including the sacred lands in the city, is a square that measures 8 1/3 miles on each side. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I'm going to pray several prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. Would you pray with me? Oh God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. You have taught us that without love, all our deeds are worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts the most excellent gift of charity, the true bond of peace, and all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. O merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.